Our scripture today is from Isaiah chapter 40 with 1 to 11. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, which you have given to us. And we ask you today to open up our hearts, our minds, help us to understand what it is that you want us to. We pray that the reading of this is able to draw us closer to you and see your mercy at play in the midst of it. Pray also that the expounding upon the word is also pleasing to you. And if it's not, we ask you it's forgotten. May your spirit reign in all things. We give ourselves to you today and always in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 to 11. Hear now God's word. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This picture that you're looking at on the slide is a picture of the wilderness that is around Israel. That when the scripture talks about the wilderness, when it talks about the Exodus going through the desert and things like that, this is what they're going through. This is a shot from an airplane. So they're pretty high up at this point. So you know if you get down within it, it's awfully rough. It says in Scripture, when Jesus went out to the wilderness to pray, this is where he went. Our Scripture today, I want us to take a closer look at it because there's four sections in it today. And I want you to keep in mind that wilderness. The first section, starting with this, comfort, comfort my people. Says your God, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This first scripture starts off with the word of comfort. Scripture has been, Jerusalem, who has constantly fought God and been disobedient to God and has done whatever they want, God is saying, you have been forgiven. Your debt has been paid. You are now free. Would you imagine the elation, the comfort that knowledge that your sins have been forgiven would bring you? Maybe some of you can. Maybe some of you have felt that forgiveness like that firsthand. Stephanie and I watched a show last night. You may be familiar with it. It's called Anne of Green Gables. Familiar with Anne of Green Gables? Got to say, I've never read the book. I think it is a book. Never, never watched any of the multiple renditions of the story because when I was younger, I was dumb. That was a far too girly story for someone as manly as myself to watch. Boy, did I miss out. It's streaming on Netflix right now. It's a series. I didn't get to watch much. I got tired and went to bed, but what I watched, I really enjoyed. The story of an orphan who was adopted from a family. She's 13 years old. At least this is in the rendition I watched, the version that I watched. And in it, her life up to the age of 13 was very hard. She was greatly picked on. The families that she worked with were very mean to her. She was abused physically and mentally. And she finally got adopted by a family. And she was so excited and so happy at the prospect of finally being part of something that was her own. And the whole way to, in the wagon ride to her family, her new family, the Cuthberts, she was pinching herself. And the person who would be her new father figure asked her why she was pinching herself, and she said, "I just want to make sure I'm not dreaming. I want to make sure that this is all real." Being forgiven, finally, of our sins. Having it paid in full so we no longer have to worry about it. It's that sense of, I hope I'm not dreaming. This is so wonderful. This scripture starts out with such a feeling of elation, happiness, that finally we're done. Our hard service is now completed. We have been forgiven. It moves on to our next section, though, right away, which is to say, we have been forgiven. However, the responsibility that we have is not done. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the deserts a highway of our Lord. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain laid low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. You remember that picture of the wilderness? Can you imagine that being made a plain? The kind of work it would take to do that? And you notice that in this scripture from 3 to 5, that the work is not the Lord's, but the work is ours. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. You make straight in the desert a highway for our God. God's not doing this, but asks us to take part in this. That we now have been given freedom, but the freedom is just not to relax. Within the freedom of now belonging to the family of God, now we have work. But this work is good work. It's to look at all the rugged places in our lives and the lives of those around us and work to make them flat. To lift up the valleys, to lower the mountains. And one thing I think we can all agree on is that we find ourselves in a wilderness right now. And it's this Christmas season, Advent is always a bit of a wilderness in and of itself. I love Advent, and it's so stressful, though. So many things need done. Decorations need put up, cookies need, you know, all this stuff that I say year after year, it's the same, and it's still stressful. Making sure you get those gifts, preparing for the services. It's good work. Man, it is work. And my brother is in a demon program. Now, not a demon program, as in D-E-M-O-N, but a demon as in D-M-I-N, men program. It stands for Doctorate of Ministry. He's taken it through Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. He has class, he has a two-week intensive class coming up in a month. In order to prepare for this class, two classes, for each class he has to read 9 different books, so that's 18 books total. He has to answer 3 questions on each book, And write a paper on each one of those questions. So that's 18 times 3. We're now getting out of my education range, my math skills anyway. So that's that many questions. He has to watch 4 hours per class of extra material. So that's 8 hours of extra material per, in both the classes that he has to watch. All while conducting Advent, and all while doing the, what funerals, what weddings might come up during this time. That's a lot of work, and he's feeling a little overwhelmed. His name's Jake. Jacob, if you want to pray for him, he would appreciate it. Someone from his class went to the administration and said, "This is too much." And his the administration of the school said, "All the work you have to do for the church is not a proper excuse for not doing your work for the school. You have to get that done. It is required of you." And then one of the students spoke up and said, "Yes, but COVID," which throws a whole nother level onto everything that's already happening. We have a lot going on. Our wilderness is a bit thicker than what it used to be. It's a lot more dense. And God asks us to raise the valleys, to lower the mountains, to make a plain out of everything that we're experiencing. How do we do that? Well, we focus on the first part. We have been made free because Jesus loves us. That's what we focus on. You go through this Advent season with the clear-cut focus that all that I am doing because God loves me. That all that I do in that attitude that I am loved by Christ and Christ was born that I may know hope. Then the decisions of how to do things are made for you. You do them in the love of God. You put the tree up in God's love. You bake the cookies with God. Everyone knows that cookies taste better with love anyway. You make and wrap and buy presents with God's love. You interact with people with God's love. And our path has become straighter. The valleys get raised up. The mountains get lowered. We're able to make it through the wilderness easier than what we thought we could. It doesn't get rid of the wilderness. It just helps us through it. But then there's this next section. A voice cries out, and I said, "What shall I cry? All people are grass. All their faithfulness is like flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall. Because the breath of the Lord blows on them, surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall." I got to say, this section is a big bummer. First we get comfort, comfort. You have been saved by God. Jesus has forgiven you. That's fantastic. You have work to do, but don't worry. That work is made easier because Christ has forgiven you. Well, that's not bad. I mean, we were created to serve God anyway, and this is good work. But don't forget, you're going to die soon. Well, that's awful. I mean, way to throw a wrench into everything. Where's the joy and happiness in that? Well, I don't know. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But the truth of the matter is that, as kind of bummer as this is, it's true, isn't it? We don't last long. All of us, our lives do have a limit here on earth. We only have a specific amount of time, and we don't know what that is to do the work that we're given to do. There's just a hard, factual truth. But I'll say this. Grass withers and flowers fall. If I were to take this scripture, grass withers and flowers fall, then what that would say to me is that come October, when I'm done mowing my lawn and I put my lawnmower away, I'm never going to take that thing out again, right? Because the grass died. That's it. It's dead. I don't have to mow it ever again. It's not true, unfortunately. The flowers fall. You know, those flowers outside that look so beautiful, when they go away, that's it. You're never going to experience flowers blooming ever again because they're dead. All that's ridiculous, of course. The grass does grow. The flowers do come back. The truth of this is the fact that when we walk our road, and however long that road is, when we go, someone's going to take our place. The work that we do in leveling out the valley, in bringing up the valley and lowering the hills and making the wilderness plain, we don't do just for us. We do for those who will come after us. They benefit from our work also. That the things that this church is accomplishing in the worshiping the Lord and serving the community and growing closer to Christ will have impact on generations to come. That this scripture is reminding us that the grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Placing our hope and our love and our obedience in raising those valleys and lowering those hills is the knowledge that that word will be effective for generations to come. I ask you, those who are sitting here and those who are on Zoom, are you here where you are today worshiping God because someone yesterday love the Lord in such a way that it changed your life? That they realized that they're only here for a short while, but lived and loved God in such a way that changed and affected that new season, that new crop, that new grass, those new flowers, and allowed them to bloom and to grow. What we do today and the love that we share and how we celebrate this Christmas will have an effect for generations to come. The word of the Lord endures forever. The next section, you who bring good news to Zion, go up on a hill, on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice and shout, lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judea, perfect Christmas message, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The first part of our scripture that we read today, we are forgiven. Take comfort and rejoice and celebrate because we are set free. In the midst of our freedom, then, work. Work to raise those valleys, to lower those hills, to focus upon God in order that this generation and the next might see that God has leveled the plain, that we can walk on solid ground, that God is here. And not only is God here, but through Jesus Christ cradles us as if we were lambs. Holds us within his arm, comforts us in the midst of our work, and gives us peace. This scripture shares with us the story of what God has done for us through Jesus. We are forgiven. Given the responsibility and the joy of obedience, not just for us, but for the coming generations. And Jesus holds us all the way through. That Christmas message, I pray that we tell not only during the Advent season, but throughout our entire life. we have been given a great gift through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I leave you with this benediction. I leave you with this benediction. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Go in peace.